I would say to people who want to start up their own peer-to-peer company now, they're probably too late. And I'm not saying that because I don't want competition, but it's maturing right now. So unless you have something that really rocks, I mean, changes everything, then it's probably too late to start it.
That was Mikkel Dissing, CEO of Rawflow, a live streaming peer-to-peer software company from Europe, discussing his company's entrance into the U.S. marketplace. This is PodTech News. It's Tuesday, October 31st, 2006. I'm Matt Kelly in Los Angeles. Peer-to-peer is fast becoming the darling of the content industry. Quite a turnaround from a few short years ago when peer-to-peer was considered a bad word and synonymous with illegal file sharing. But as content providers continue to distribute more and more content over the internet, peer-to-peer is showing its true possibilities for moving this growing volume of content more affordably. It reduces bandwidth costs. Instead of being centralized at the broadcast origin, with peer-to-peer, the bandwidth requirement of the broadcast gets distributed over the entire network of participants. As the audience grows, so do the network resources available to distribute that broadcast without any additional bandwidth costs. Mikkel says this makes broadcasting over the internet scalable. I spoke with him last week at Digital Hollywood, an entertainment and technology conference in Santa Monica, California, where he introduced me to Rawflow and discussed the benefits of his company's live streaming software.
We are a live peer-to-peer technology company founded in 2000, back in the days where peer-to-peer was a naughty word. And we worked 3.5 years in my bedroom, literally. And then we picked up some VC funding from Benchmark Capital. And so we are now a huge conglomerate of 20 people based in London. And basically have developed what I would call a server-assisted peer-to-peer technology that works with existing infrastructures today. So if you broadcast over the internet today with a Windows Media or Helix server or whatever it may be, and when you live stream, you obviously have a bandwidth restraint, have a success penalty, if you like. As more people join your broadcast, you need more bandwidth and more server resources. And by deploying Rawflow software on top of your existing infrastructure, so not changing anything, simply just a software layer on top, you will be able to scale to about 4 to anything between 4 and 10 times as many audiences. This is completely proprietary. And one thing that's important to understand is this is a fundamental difference between what you normally think of peer-to-peer and live streaming. It's a completely different proposition. It's a different problem that we're solving. With download, which is BitTorrent, of course, and FastTrack and Gnutella and eDonkey and those guys, it resides on your PC. And therefore, even though you maybe only have half the file or a quarter of the file, you can still upload it because it's on your PC. When you're in a live streaming environment, the content does not reside on your computer because it is live. So if you're watching the Super Bowl, you obviously can't have the Super Bowl results 2 weeks before, because if you did, you'd go to the bookies and make lots of money. So this is the fundamental difference, is that our network is created in real time. So it's a fundamentally different problem that we solved, and it's a proprietary protocol.
You're here at Digital Hollywood, so I would imagine that Hollywood in itself is really a marketplace that you see applications for your service.
Absolutely. What we provide here is the ability for pretty much anyone to become a broadcaster in their own right, to reach more people than they ever were able to do before with streaming. So you can set up your own TV channel or your own movie channel or whatever it may be for an absolute fraction of the cost as it could before. And obviously, that if there's one place in the world where content is created, it's here. So our market is most definitely here. All the traditional broadcasters, as you know them today, so Fox, CNN, CBS, NBC, so forth, they're all, you know, potential targets for us, and we would love to talk to these people.
How has Rawflow done in Europe?
Because we are one of the very first in this market, we like to see ourselves as pioneers. So we've been through the dark ages, you know, we've been to hell and back, call it what you like. And we've made lots of mistakes and lots of bug hunting and bug fixing. And now we have a very stable product, simply because we had the stamina to keep going and learn from our mistakes and adapt to the market. So right now we're live with, I can't remember, about 150 or so broadcasters in Europe. Some of them are national broadcasters. For instance, the Danish Broadcast Corporation, which is like a mini BBC, have completely adopted us. They're the first proper broadcasters in the world to 100% embrace peer-to-peer as their main distribution channel. So that's all good news for us, because that peer-to-peer is now moving out of the dark ages into being a legit and very scalable distribution model.
Are broadcasters, in a sense, finally coming to the realization of what the legitimate uses of what peer-to-peer's potential can be?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a push and a pull, really. But yes, absolutely, that they've come to the realization that, number one, you can actually make money from the internet, which is a very good driver, of course. Two, that peer-to-peer as a distribution signal is not evil. It's the people that used it for evil purposes, if you like. And also the fact that I think there's also a bit of, if you can't beat them, join them thing going on here as well. And now the commercial guys are following suit because they can see that there's a lot of revenue opportunities to have you had here.
And besides revenue opportunities, I would imagine that it is actually a cost-saving technology in terms of moving large content to multiple users at once.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you boil peer-to-peer down to its very core, what is the purpose of peer-to-peer as a distribution technology? It is basically bandwidth savings. It is efficiency. That's what it all boils down to. You can put all kinds of other gizmos around it, DRM and what have you not. But at the end of the day, the core of peer-to-peer is a distribution technology. No more, no less. That's what it is. And that's, if you really take it to the core, that's the benefit. It's the distribution cost that is significantly reduced. And by that, content owners can then offer more quality. So because the distribution cost is so low, you can get HD quality. Whereas if they had to pay the full Monty of distribution cost, then you'd get a shoebox little stream rather than anything else.
What's the benefit to a broadcaster and what's the benefit to me perhaps as an end user?
Right. What I would answer that in two stages, if I may. One, there's certain content that is suitable for on-demand and there's certain content that's not. And there are also certain content that just can't be on demand. Like, for instance, the example of the Super Bowl. You can't have the Super Bowl on demand. That is on when it is on. So sport is obviously one. There's also news and music and concerts and what have you not. There's certain type of content that just, you can obviously get it on demand later on, but the mass consumption will be live. Secondly to that is that the fact that it's streamed means that, let's face it, that one of the big revenue generators here is advertising. That if you have a piece of content that sits on your machine, you can do what would you like with it. You can just, oh, there's 2 minutes of ads, skip it, and we all know we would do it if we could. Whereas with live streaming, with streaming basically, then you have to, in quotation mark, watch it. Just like you have to do with TV, okay, you can change from channel 1 to channel 2 on your TV, but chances are there'll probably be ads on that as well. So you'll just sit there, watch the ad, and then you'll start again. So that's a big benefit for streaming.
Evaluate the landscape of streaming peer-to-peer. Who are your competitors right now?
There's a lot of people who consider them our competitors, but I wouldn't really consider them competitors. At the end of the day, with peer-to-peer, the proof is in the pudding. If you have to be out there and you can't say, oh, I'm in beta, I'm in stealth mode and that sort of stuff, then, quite frankly, we know from experience that you can be in beta for a very long time, but we know how difficult it is to make this software. It's not just 9 lines of code and job done. It's very, very, very complicated software. So our competitors in the US is a company called Abacast, which I think have decent technology and they're very good guys and I like them and I respect them very much. The Chinese one's technology works very well. However, if there's one thing they have not heard of is copyrights. They are putting the copyright infringement back into peer-to-peer, and that is not what we do and it's not what our competitors, as I would consider our competitors, do. I know Vista is going to have some peer-to-peer elements into it. I think it's based on the BitTorrent protocol as well, or at least a copy of it, if you like, called Avalanche and some called Mercury. I'm not too familiar with what they do, so that could be a big thing that just comes from the heavens and changes the whole landscape? I don't know. I would say to people who want to start up their own peer-to-peer company now, they're probably too late. And I'm not saying that because I don't want competition, but it's maturing right now. So unless you have something that really rocks, I mean, changes everything, then it's probably too late to start it.
Can you maybe put it into dollars and cents in terms of the potential of this marketplace of live streaming peer-to-peer?
Well, it's almost impossible. And it's not because I want to be facetious or not give you a number. But the thing is that right now the streaming market is about $1.8 billion or something like that. But that includes on-demand. Of that, about 15%, 25% is live. However, live streaming is growing extremely rapidly. And with the adoption of peer-to-peer signal, which makes it more feasible to do it. I mean, you have to think, one of the main reasons why live streaming hasn't really taken off is two things. One, broadband penetration. Two, the cost of delivering it, a live stream. But if you use a CDN, you could easily, let's say it's say 400 kilobit video stream, which is a decent quality. It will cost you, the broadcaster, something about $8 a month per concurrent user. So if you start a TV channel, you have to spend $8 just in distribution and then start making money. And there's no way you can build a business model around that. So therefore, it hasn't taken off. What I'm seeing in the UK, for instance, that all the big broadcasters, they're doing what's called simulcasting. They're basically taking the terrestrial TV channel and streaming it in real time live on the net as well. So that's a big driver. So how big is the market right now? Through maybe 400 million, 600 million in a year, 2 years time? I think you could put a zero behind that.
You just joined DCIA. Can you talk about that organization and why you thought it was important to be affiliated with them?
First of all, I think they're a bunch of really great guys. They are doing something fantastic for the industry. They've been going for about 3 years, but just like everyone else in the P2P industry is coming out of the dark ages and now into the light. They've been going through that as well, so that they understand the industry very well. They are trade buddy for the distributed computers, which is basically peer-to-peer. So I think it's important to have a trade buddy to represent us and spread the word in a non-biased way, so they're not a specific vendor. So that's why we join them, really, because we have common goals.
I know it's not necessarily your marketplace, but I would imagine that at some point your company is going to look at mobile technology.
It's more imminent than you may think, for us anyway. I don't think peer-to-peer per se will work in a mobile environment. We talked to some of the bigger carriers here, but what I can say that what we're doing here, we are about to launch something called Selfcaster. So it's based a self-publishing tool, so you can broadcast to the world for free live. And that we will extend to mobiles sometime next year.
And your final thoughts on the industry and your entry into the U.S. marketplace?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that peer-to-peer is no longer bad. I'm very glad for that. My thought of the industry per se is that it's maturing. It's consolidating. It's growing up. So it's coming away from the basements and the underground, the grassroots and all that sort of good stuff. And it's moving into mainstream. So Warner Brothers adopting BitTorrent and National Broadcasting adopting Rawflow and that sort of stuff. It's all good. We very much look forward to working with broadcasters over here, because we believe there's an enormous market potential here that is totally not tapped into by anyone, and we hope to do a lot of business here.
My thanks to my guest Mikkel Dissing, CEO of Rawflow. We'll look to hear more from him in the coming days and months ahead. In Los Angeles, I'm Matt Kelly for PodTech News.